if you'll please take your Bibles at this time and turn with me to the book of Hebrews. We're in Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 11 and 12 today. This passage is the second of three sections in Hebrews chapter 11, as we learn, that deal with Abraham and his faith. And we spent the last couple of weeks looking at that first section in verses 8 through 10. That was a section which focused on Abraham's faith in following God's leading. And we saw how Abraham demonstrated his faith by following God's leading. That's something that God calls us to do also, to follow his leading in every way in our lives. Now we come to a second section on Abraham's faith, and this focuses on a different aspect of Abraham's faith. Abraham demonstrated his faith by following God's leading, and now number two, he demonstrated his faith by believing God's promise. Believing God's promise. Abraham believed God's promise that God would make Abraham into a great nation and that he would give the land of Canaan to Abraham's offspring. So in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 11 and 12, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? Hebrews 11, verses 11 and 12. By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Well, dear Lord, as we look at these two verses and other verses related to them in Scripture this morning, Lord, our prayer is that you would increase our faith. Help us to grow in our faith, especially in this area that Abraham demonstrates so well for us in believing your promises. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. You know, there are probably few things as disheartening as when someone makes a promise to you and then they break that promise, right? We know intuitively that when someone makes a promise, they ought to keep their word, right? I mean, why even make the promise if you're not going to follow through? Some people mean well when they make a promise, but they do not always have the character, they do not always have the integrity to stand by their word when the going gets tough. Others make their promises lightly. They never intended to fulfill them unless it was convenient for them, unless it was somehow to their advantage. We've all had someone break a promise to us at one time or another, and let's face it, let's be honest, we all have also broken many promises ourselves. And so broken promises seem to be part and parcel of our broken world. And unfortunately, broken promises can have a negative effect on your faith. They can have a negative effect. When someone breaks their promise to us, what happens? We're disappointed and we begin to lose trust. And if we get disappointed enough in this area, well, we can begin to lose faith altogether. Some people even lose their faith in God. And they forget that when it comes to keeping promises, God is absolutely faithful. The Bible says in Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, and we'll put it up on the screen, but there's also an outline in your bulletin if you want to follow along in that outline or take some notes. It's right there in the top of your outline as well. It says this: God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should change his mind. Does God speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? I want you to rest assured this morning, God is the ultimate promise keeper, right? God has a perfect record in the promise-keeping department. And although we know that and we might truly believe it in our hearts, we can still experience a crisis of faith when what we see in the world before us does not seem to line up with what God tells us in his word. And that is when we need to remember that faith believes even without seeing. Remember verse 1 of this chapter we started a number of weeks ago, Hebrews 11, 1. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of realities that we do not see. Well, Abraham, he experienced a similar crisis of faith. What he could see with his eyes, okay, what he could see did not seem to line up with what God had promised him. And yet Abraham still chose to believe God's promise, even when he could not see how that promise could possibly be fulfilled. Abraham believed God against all the odds, and God worked through Abraham's faith to bring blessing to him, and then through him to others. And that's what we want to learn for ourselves this morning. And so we begin with this statement that faith believes God's promises against all the odds. Faith believes God's promises against all odds. Nothing is impossible for God. When God first spoke to Abraham back in Genesis chapter 12, God promised him two things, okay? God said, first of all, I will make you into a great nation. And then God also told him, to your offspring, I will give this land. Then three chapters later, Genesis chapter 15, God reaffirms his promise. God takes Abraham outside, tells him, says, Abraham, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And then Genesis chapter 15, verse 6 tells us that Abram believed the Lord, and God credited it to him as righteousness. Now, these were wonderful promises that God gave to Abraham and his offspring. Wonderful promises. Just one big problem, okay? You know what that is? No offspring, right? How could God make him into a great nation when he didn't have any children? How could his offspring inherit the land when they didn't exist? You see, what Abraham could see with his eyes did not line up with God's promise. For God's promise to be fulfilled, Abraham would first of all, he'd have to have children, right? At least one, okay? And then because inheritance in those days went through the males in the family, that child would also have to be a son. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11, our first verse this morning, tells us this. By faith, Abraham was enabled to become a father. It's speaking here of the birth of Abraham's son, Isaac. Abraham did not become the father of Isaac by his own strength, by his own natural capacity. He became Isaac's father simply by believing God's promise concerning a future son. The birth of Isaac was a result of Abraham's faith, not his own strength, not his own cleverness, not his own ability. It is such a good reminder to us that we can accomplish much more for God by faith in him and his promises than we ever can by relying on our own strength or our own resources. Now, Abraham had to exercise faith because there were two major obstacles he had to deal with. Two major obstacles stood in the way of him receiving God's promises. And we find both of them right here in verse 11. Obstacle number one, ready? First obstacle is this, the fact that Abraham was past age. Past age, okay? It's a phrase that means to be past the season of life for a particular activity. Sometimes when I exercise too hard, I wake up the next morning and I wonder, am I past age for all this stuff, right? And then I hobble around the house and I go, you know what? No, exercise, I never felt better in my life. Never felt better, right? You know, am I past age? Well, Abraham wasn't past age for exercise. Well, maybe he was, I don't know. But here, what's he past age for? He was past age for becoming a parent. Abraham had passed the season of life for producing a child. And yet, in order for God's promise to be fulfilled, Abraham has to have a son. Now, Abraham was already 75 years old, okay? 75 years old when God first spoke to him back in Genesis chapter 12. 75 years old. That's a pretty old for a man to father a child, even in those days. They tended to have children much later in those days, but it was not impossible. In fact, 11 years later, when Abraham was 86 years old, he actually would father a son named Ishmael. And that's remarkable. It was still within the realms of human possibility. Ishmael, however, was born not of Abraham's wife Sarah, but of Sarah's maidservant Hagar. Okay, it's complicated. We're not going to get into that whole story this morning. You can read it yourself in Scripture. God made it clear that Ishmael, however, was not the son of promise. God's promise to Abraham would be fulfilled through a son born to him through his wife, Sarah. And so as the years went by, and Abraham got older, and Sarah got older, the promise required more and more faith to believe. Then in Genesis chapter 17, we read God appears to Abraham again. This time, Abraham was 99 years old, okay? And Sarah was 89. God appeared to Abraham. He gave him the covenant of circumcision. Then he told him this, Genesis 17, 16. He said, I will bless your wife Sarah and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her. And this promise was so staggering that even Abraham, the father of faith, even Abraham had trouble believing it. In fact, Genesis 17 tells us next, it says, Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? It seemed too much to believe. And then Abraham said to God, he said, you know what? If only Ishmael might live under your blessing instead. See, Abraham was definitely past age now, and he knew it. And so in a temporary moment of doubting, okay, even Abraham, the father of faith, could go through this temporary moment of doubting, he asked God, he says, can you switch the promise for me? Can you switch it over to Ishmael? You might wonder, well, why Ishmael? Well, one thing, because Ishmael was already born, right? Ishmael was a living, breathing, 13-year-old boy who had already come from Abraham's body. Abraham could see Ishmael with his own eyes. He could not see a son being born to him at 100 years old. So believing in Ishmael, that was easy, right? That did not require the same kind of faith as believing in the future promise of a son. God says, nope. God refuses Abraham's request. He says, I'm not going to switch the promise. Tells Abraham, verse 19, your wife Sarah will bear you a son. And you will call him Isaac. And then God even gives Abraham a time frame, something he had not done before. God says this in verse 21. He says, my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year. And so here stands Abraham, 99 years old, with a renewed promise of a son sometime within the next year. And Abraham believed God. He believed God. And folks, that takes faith. That takes faith. That was just the first obstacle, though, right? That's the first obstacle that stood in the way of Abraham receiving God's promise. Abraham was past age. We have a second obstacle now. The second obstacle, not only was Abraham past age for having a son, we read in verse 11, Sarah herself was barren. Sarah's barren. This is the reason Abraham and Sarah did not have any children to begin with. Even when Abraham was younger, when it wouldn't have been a problem, even when Sarah was in the prime of her life, they had been unable to conceive because Sarah was barren. And you know what? This was an even more serious obstacle than the first. In other words, Abraham's age, that only compounded what was already an impossible situation. Sarah was physically unable to have children. Now, of course, this means that Abraham had displayed remarkable faith in believing God's promise, even way back when he was only 75 years old, right? Because he knew then that Sarah was barren. And yet Abraham still believed God's promise that he would become the father of many nations. He still believed that God would give the land of Canaan to his offspring that did not exist yet. But now that Abraham is almost 100, Sarah is almost 90, you know, this promise just seemed totally out of reach. A 100-year-old man and his 90-year-old barren wife are not going to be able to produce a son together. Humanly speaking, this was just not possible. And yet Abraham believed God's promise. And that very day he circumcised himself according to the covenant. He circumcised Ishmael. He circumcised all the males in his household just as God told him. Abraham believed God's promise even though he and Sarah were both past age to have children, even though Sarah herself was barren. And God honored Abraham's faith by miraculously enabling Abraham and Sarah to give birth to Isaac, the son of the promise. Faith believes God against all odds because nothing is impossible for God. Romans chapter 4 in the New Testament describes Abraham's faith this way. Romans 4 verses 18 to 21 says, "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be." Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. When it comes to believing God's promises, folks, don't worry about the odds, okay? Humanly speaking, don't worry about the odds, because the odds, you know what? They mean nothing. They mean nothing when God is in the picture. In fact, there are even times when God will stack the odds against you, when he will purposely stack the odds against the promise on purpose. Let me give you a couple examples. I think about Gideon in the Old Testament. Gideon goes out to war. He has 32,000 men with him. And when he goes to battle, the odds are already stacked against him, because we read in the book of Judges, chapter 7, verse 12, it says, "The Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the other eastern peoples had settled in the valley thick as locusts." 32,000 men from one little country against all of these other armies. The odds were already stacked against him. They were no match for that army. But then what does God do? He stacks the odds even further. And he takes Gideon's army. He whittles it down to 300 men. 300 men against all of these other armies. And why? Why would God do that? Well, God tells us. He gives us the reason in Judges chapter 7, verse 2. He says, "In order that Israel may not boast against me, that her own strength has saved her." So God gets the glory. Or how about Lazarus in the New Testament? When Jesus received the news that his friend Lazarus was sick and dying, he could have gone and healed him. What did he do instead? He intentionally delayed going so that Lazarus would be 4 days in the grave before he got there with his disciples. Why would he do that? So that there would be no question that Lazarus had truly died when Jesus raised him from the grave. What did Jesus do? Jesus stacked the odds against himself. He stacked the odds against a simple healing in order to perform the greater miracle of resurrection. Why does God sometimes stack the odds against us? In order to bring himself the glory that he rightly deserves. See, this is how it works. God is always working on our behalf. He's always doing that. But we don't always see it. We don't always recognize it. So what does God do? God stacks the odds against us in such a way that now we can see it. We can see more clearly his hand of deliverance. Nothing is impossible for God. Now there's another reason that Abraham was able to exercise such a remarkable faith against such impossible odds. And that's because he knew that God is always faithful to keep his promises. Back to our verse now, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. By faith, Abraham was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. Abraham believed God's promise because he knew God's character. He trusted God's promise because he trusted God. And as you go through life, you very quickly learn that you can trust some people more than others, right? There are some people out there, you know, you can trust them completely. When they make you a promise, you know they're going to keep it because they have proved themselves faithful time and time again. And then there are those others. You still love them, right? You still love them, but they are so completely unreliable that if they ever actually came through and kept a promise for once in their life, you would probably fall over in a dead faint. It's like, wow, where did that come from, right? It all comes down to the person's character and integrity. Well, God's character is one of absolute faithfulness. Abraham believed God because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And you can always trust God to keep his promises. Charles Spurgeon was a preacher in England back in the late 1800s. He had this great insight. He said this. He said, if God had meant to run back from any promise, he would surely have run back from the promise to give his only begotten son. But having fulfilled that, what promise is there he will ever break? It's a similar thought to what we find in Romans chapter 8, verse 32, where we read this. He, speaking of God, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? So the thought is this. If God kept the hardest promise of all, right? That of sending his own son into the world to die as a sacrifice for sin. If God kept the hardest promise, how will he not also keep all of his other promises? God will always keep his promises because that is his character. And so faith believes God against all the odds because nothing is impossible for God. And God is always faithful to keep his promises. And when you choose to believe God against the odds, God works through your faith in his promise, he works through your faith in his promise to bring great blessing. God will bring great blessing to you, and then God will bring great blessing to others through you. Let's look at both of those real quick now. When you choose to believe God against the odds, God will bring great blessing, first of all, to you. I want you to remember that God's promises in Scripture, they are always given for you. They are always given for your benefit. Jeremiah Burroughs, a great Puritan author, he wrote this. He says, every time a godly person reads the Scriptures and there meets with a promise, he ought to lay his hand upon it and say, this is part of my inheritance. This is mine. And I'm to lie or rest myself upon it. In other words, God wants you to go to the promises in his word. He wants you to go there to find the comfort and strength and assurance that you need in life. And it is through your faith in God's promises that God will bring you great blessing. God worked through Abraham's faith to bring great blessing to Abraham. By faith, Abraham was enabled to become a father. That was a wonderful, personal blessing for him, right? Because you see, Abraham had one great sorrow in his life. He'd lived many decades. One great sorrow, his beloved wife, Sarah, was unable to bear him any children. Infertility can be an excruciatingly difficult and painful thing for any couple to face. Abraham and Sarah, they lived in a culture which viewed the barren womb, the culture viewed it as a curse, and so they would also have suffered a very great public humiliation along with their own personal sense of failure and loss. And Abraham's sorrow over Sarah's infertility was so great that when God appeared to Abraham in a vision, and told him, Genesis 15, he told him, he said, do not be afraid, Abram. I'm your shield. I'm your very great reward. Abraham responded by saying, oh, sovereign Lord, what can you possibly give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? You have given me no children, and so a servant in my household will be my heir. Can't you just hear the disappointment, the sorrow, the frustration in Abraham's words? Ironically, Abram's name, okay, his name Abram, before God changed his name, Abram's name means this, ready? It means father of many. That's what his name means. So every time for 75 years, 86 years, 99 years, people come up and say, hey, Abram. They're saying, hey, father of many. Hey, father of many. How's it going, father of many? Good to see you, father of many. And here he was, the father of none. The father of no children. So that a servant in his household would inherit the family estate instead of a son. But Abram believed God's promise. And God worked through his faith to bring him personally great blessing. God enabled Abraham to become the father of Isaac. When you put your faith in God's promises, God will not only bring great blessing to you, he's going to do that as well. God will also bring great blessing to others through you. Now, God had told Abraham this back in Genesis 15. He said, Abraham, look up at the heavens, count the stars, if indeed you can count them, so shall your offspring be. And you know what? God fulfilled that promise. And that's what we see in our second verse this morning from Hebrews 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 12 says this, and so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sand on the seashore. One man's faith did what? Brought blessing to many. One man, and he was good as dead. Now you just love that. He's good as dead. But it's true, right? When it came to having children, Abraham was no better than a dead man. A 100-year-old man and his 90-year-old barren wife had just as much chance, humanly speaking, of producing a child as did a dead man and a dead woman. But by faith in God's promises, the father of none became the father of many. And then God changed his name from Abram, the father of many, to Abraham. What does Abraham mean? The father of nations. And then the Bible tells us he becomes the father of all who believe. From the father of none to the father of many to the father of nations to the father of all who believe. Now the word that's translated numerous here in verse 12, it's a word that means a great number, a multitude. But I especially like the word countless in this verse. Because in the original language, you know what that word literally means? It means no math. No math. Maybe you hated math when you were a kid in school or something. So you would probably like this word. You go, no math. Wouldn't that be nice? I was under the impression there would be no math, right? Well, the sand on the seashore is countless. That means there is no math that can count at all. God promised Abraham countless descendants. There was no math that could count them all. And how did God fulfill that promise? First of all, he fulfilled it, first of all, through the birth of Isaac. You got one. And then through Isaac, you have Jacob. And then Jacob has 12 sons, and now it spreads to the nation of Israel. Oh boy, it's grown bigger now, isn't it? And then God fulfills the promise further through the coming of Jesus, who was the Messiah for Israel and the Savior for all. And you know what? God continues to fulfill that promise to Abraham even today through the many people, both Jew and Gentile, who continue to come to Jesus for salvation. Galatians chapter 3 in the New Testament puts it this way. Paul says this, Galatians 3, 6 to 9. He says, consider Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. Do you believe today? That means you're a child of Abraham. The scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. And so those who have faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. God worked through Abraham's faith to bring great blessing to countless people through salvation in Jesus Christ. God will also work through your faith in his promises, to not only bring great blessing to you, but to other people as well. You know, the vast array of stars in the sky served as a visual reminder to Abraham of God's promise. Every night, Abraham could go outside and could look up into that diamond-studded sky, and he could claim God's promise by faith, as numerous as the stars in the sky. Does your heart beat for Jesus and his kingdom this morning? Do you long to see multitudes of people come to faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior? Then let me encourage you, do this. Go outside some night. Look up at the sky. Look at the stars. And by faith, continue to claim this promise. Because remember, God continues to fulfill his promise to Abraham even today. Allow God to bring great blessing to others through you as you put your faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in God means believing God's promise. Faith believes God's promises against all odds because nothing is impossible for God and because God is always faithful to keep his promises. God works through your faith in his promises to bring great blessing to you and great blessing to others through you. To doubt God's promise is to doubt God's power or to doubt God's character. And to doubt God's promise is to forfeit God's blessing for yourself and for others. Hebrews 11 tells us by faith, Abraham was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so, from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Believe God's promise and know God's great blessing in your life. Let us pray. Well, Father, we thank you for these verses on Abraham this morning. We've already learned so much from Abraham in the prior weeks about following your leading. And now, Lord, we're faced with this new challenge, believing your promise, even when it doesn't seem possible. Lord, I know a lot of times we're in situations we can't see the answer. We can't see the solution. We don't see any way out. As far as we're concerned, humanly speaking, this is it. There is no way out. It's impossible. And Lord, this is where we need to believe your promise. You've promised to be with us at all times. You've promised to meet all of our needs through Jesus, your Son. Lord, you've promised to forgive all of our sins, no matter how badly we've sinned, how badly we failed. We come back to you, we confess our sin, we repent, we are forgiven. Lord, we need to believe your promise. Faith believes without seeing. We believe because of who you are. You are faithful. And we give you our praise this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.